Blog Talk Radio.
Construction tend to act with rings, flipping mixtapes. The bitches feeding me grapes, keep my mind safe. Big Papa flow is lethal, that weed make my ass.
And welcome to the End Fuzz Show. My name is Ed Molina. My partner in crime, as usual, Fuzzy Biscuits. Before we start the show real quick, I just want to say, first of all, rest in power to Chadwick Boseman. I didn't think this one. Usually with celebrity death, it's like, you know, hey, that sucks, you keep it moving. But this one, for whatever reason, I felt this one really deep. I don't know why. I guess I know why. Representation matters. And he represented a lot of things to a lot of people, if you will. The Black Panther character. And as a comic book geek, I always liked the Black Panther character, but he literally gave that character life and meant a lot, not just to a lot of kids, but to a lot of adults, you know, which goes to show that representation matters. And actually, Fuzz, I'm going to lay this one up for you, throw you the alley-oop. Speaking of representation matters, also rest in power, John Thompson, who in his own way was his own Black Panther. He's a king. He's another guy that was a king. And you being from the D.C. area, you being a Georgetown fan, I'll let you expound more on that, because I know that one I know hit you a little hard as well, probably more so than Chadwick Boseman, because you are a longtime Hoya fan. And you put me on to a lot of the things that he did for the community. So I'll let you speak on that one.
Man, I grew up watching the John Thompson Georgetown Hoyas. And I mean, it's like the Redskins, man. The Hoyas were a great part of my childhood. You know, I got to see Hall of Famers play. I got national championships, Final Fours. But really, it goes beyond that with John Thompson. Like, it's really off the court. One thing is people talk about, and I keep thinking is people will keep bringing up in his death, that he was the first African-American coach to win a national championship. And John Thompson, he really wasn't about, he didn't like that title, and he would tell you, and he said when he won and everybody was talking about he was the first, he was like, no. He said, I was the first one that had the opportunity. He's like, if everybody had the opportunity, it wouldn't be me. He was very humble. Like, he, you know, the whole thing with Prop 48, I mean, he walked his kids off the floor. You know, he put a lot on the line for, you know, kids, so that they could get a fair shot to get into college. Like, he, you know, saved Allen Iverson's life pretty much. I mean,
literally,
you know,
saved Allen Iverson. That cannot go understated.
I mean, John Thompson was just, you know, when Alonzo Mourning was hanging around Raphael Edmonds, John Thompson, like, called a meeting with Raphael Edmonds, and Raphael Edmonds showed up. John Thompson's like, back off him. And Raphael Edmonds did. And this is, like, one of the biggest drug kingpins in American history. And John Thompson had no fear of him or anything. He's like, leave my kid alone. And Raphael Edmonds respected it.
There was something about, there was something about John Thompson that just, like, even on TV, he commanded that respect. You know what I mean? And even if you weren't a Hoya fan, you respected what he represented, which was, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Black pride, Black opportunity. Again, I think you hit the nail on the head. He gave opportunities to young Black men because he emphasized education. He's one of those rare coaches. I always shit on college sports, but he was one of those rare exceptions where he emphasized education as much as he emphasized learning a post-up game. You know what I mean? I think, again, perfect example is Allen Iverson, getting him a second chance when he could have easily been lost in the system. You know what I mean? And so it's been, this week has sucked. I'll just put it like that, in that sense. And I'm usually not much of a celebrity death guy, but these two kind of hurt, you know. So rest in power. And
yeah.
Lute Olson, too, rest in power. But and I don't want to dismiss that, you know, him either. But, you know, it, again, both Chad.
I didn't
Chad
even know Lute Olson passed.
Yeah, yeah, Lute Olson passed away.
Damn.
Yeah, we're getting old, man. But, you know, and the one last thing with Chadwick Boseman, fellas, I mean everyone really, not just the fellas, ladies, everyone, yo, go see a doctor. I know, especially as minorities, we tend to be like, yo, put some Tussin on it, walk it off, suck it up, whatever it is. But, you know, from what I understand with Chadwick Boseman, by the time they detected his colon cancer, he was already in stage 3, possibly stage 4. I don't know, you know what I mean? But, you know, if you have, I know it's tough. I know it's expensive. I know being healthy is expensive. But if you're blessed to have that access to healthcare, I know I am. I'm actually in the middle of trying to get my physicals done and all that, because it was a wake up call. I'm not gonna lie. Fellas, ladies, take care of yourselves. You know, go see a doctor. And apologies for starting on such a downer, but I think it's something that needed to be said. And like I said, I both matter, both prove that representation matters, whether it's on the basketball court, whether it's in Hollywood, whether it's in media, whether it's in politics. Representation matters, and these are two shining examples of why representation matters and why we fight and why we protest and, you know, and why Black lives do matter. And, you know, not the way I wanted to start off the show, but, you know, let's move on to happier things. But I think some things are bigger than wrestling. Some things are bigger than sports. Some things are bigger than Hollywood. And, you know, seeing the reaction by people to both of their passings, I think I could just not say something, having my little shitty platform to our 2-3 fans. You know what I mean? Like, I just, you know, it's something that I needed to remove, get off my chest, you know. So, anyway, and besides, like I said, I think you being from D.C., you could better capture what that man meant to not just Georgetown, to D.C. You know, there's another side of D.C. besides the Beltway, which you always...
Well, I mean, John Thompson brought D.C. to Georgetown, basically, is
yeah.
What people give him credit for. He brought D.C. to Georgetown.
So,
he's
anyway,
a D.C. guy.
Yeah. Anyway, let me crack open my 9-pin.
Oh,
this
Lord.
Time we went with the peach cider. We went with the peach cider. Probably not the best way to take care of myself. You know, I'm talking about a physical. But it's been a busy week in wrestling. We just haven't had a chance to podcast. You know, we've had our own shitty lives to attend to, though. Shout out to you getting your record out there, bro. So shout out to that. Congrats on that end. I'm going to be pushing that subtly and overtly on a lot of different platforms. So, you know, much props to you on that. I'm glad to see you back on the horse. I'm copping it. So I got you, son. But let's start with All Out. Let's start with AEW All Out. I think we can both agree AEW's been putting on some good shows. I'm really excited about the main event. As we were talking off the grid, the main event has a big fight feel to it. But before we get into that, these are some of the matches. We're not going to preview all of them, but like one of the matches, for example, Dark Order, which will be Brody Lee, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno, Stu Grayson versus Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and the Natural Nightmares. I actually kind of don't care about this fight, although I will say, the Dark Order has come a long way from the very beginning. I think we can both agree on that. True?
For sure, for sure.
And I like Colt. I like friend of the show, Bonnie, calls him Colt, not Colt Cabana. So I really, I'm enjoying the whole, I think Brody Lee kind of changed the whole dynamic for the Dark Order. Another match, which I think it's going to determine the number one contender, for the tag team title. So this is a little confusing. Sometimes things can get a little complicated. So this week, teaming up with SoCal Uncensored, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, they're fighting Jurassic Express and the Young Bucks. And the winners of the of that eight-man tag team will face each other to determine who the number one contender is. I think this is a long about way. You had mentioned this earlier. Watch out for Private Party and a potential tag team run. And it's long-winded, but this isn't a bad way to set that up, to make them look strong. I think they've kind of been in a bit of a rut lately. But you were saying off record, you know, off the grid, that you think this is the beginning of a run for them, didn't you?
I mean, I said it's possible. I mean, if you think about it, they've gotten close a couple times. They've put them in big tag team matches. They've fought for the title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think they're exciting to watch. It's a nice, you know, young, exciting team. High flyers, lots of spots. AEW likes that. I can see them, you know, they're going to give them a run at some point. They're going to have several runs. They're really young. So,
yes.
I mean, they may push them by starting one of their runs while they're still really young. My thoughts. I don't know.
Right. I know.
If I were the booker.
That's a good hypothesis. I think because they're young, I sometimes tend to put them in the back burner. I guess I'm that booker more, I guess, on a Vince. I guess I'm thinking more like Vince in that sense. But you're right. They're young. They're exciting. I think they're a little too spot heavy for my taste, but that's not a bad thing per se for that AEW crowd. They're exciting. Unfortunately, I think because they're black, they draw comparisons to Street Profits, which I don't think is fair to either team. I think that's really not very easy.
But it will happen. It's definitely going to happen.
It doesn't. That's the reality of it. And to be honest, you know, Street Profits are a little bit older. They're a little bit more seasoned than Private Party. But I do agree that they're on a come up. There's a team on a come up. I would watch out for SoCal Uncensored. I'm going to lean on the veterans. You know, I'm a big fan of Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. I think Frankie Kazarian is a lot of ways a poor man's Randy Orton. Doesn't get that respect like a Randy Orton does, but he's really good in the ring. I've always liked the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. I've always thought he's been a solid wrestler. I go back to him with the Jays in the X Division, TNA Impact. So I do agree with you that I think that team's going to win. But I feel like this may be a prep run for maybe SoCal Uncensored to retain the titles. And you got to remember, the first time they held the title, it was Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian. I'd like to see the original, I guess, version of this team. And I'd like to see Scorpio Sky go on a singles run, a lot like Big E, actually. I think they're due for a singles run, which we'll get to Scorpio Sky in a second. We'll get to him right now. I think he's going to be in that 21-man casino battle royale with the winner, which has become a tradition with All In, the winner to get a future title shot. So many good names so far. Obviously, there's going to be swerves and interesting people who are going to be coming in, surprises, a few jokes. I'm sure we'll see the Ass Club, as I call them. I can't stand those guys, Billy and his son. And I call him the Ass Club. I don't even call him the Gun Club. Anyway, but Darby Allin, Lance Archer, Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, who I think is going to be a fucking star. Ricky Starks, him and his leather chancletas are going to be stars. Excuse me. Pentagono Jr., Ray Phoenix, The Butcher, The Blade, Eddie Kingston, who right now is throwing some of the best promos in the fucking business right now. I've always been a big fan of Eddie Kingston. Who do you foresee, or who would you like to see get this title shot out of the people? Or you know, if you want to throw in a swerve name in there, who do you want to see get that title shot?
Does it matter if I definitely do not believe he will get it? Just who I would like to see would be Ray Phoenix.
Yes. Ooh. Yeah, you've been high on Ray Phoenix for a long. You actually you've been shitting on me for being a Pentagon Jr. fan. And not a Ray Phoenix.
No, I get it. I didn't shit on you. I'm just saying, Ray Phoenix is the best. He's better.
He's better. No, he is better. He reminds me of a young Rey Mysterio Jr. Like that. I'd love to see Ray Phoenix get a singles run,
a title shot.
I mean,
Ray Phoenix is that's a big time talent.
Even though he's not mentioned, I believe he will be in. I think he will be one of the competitors in 21 in the 21 man casino battle royale. I'd like to see more Scorpio Sky, and that's why I kind of, I guess, I led with that. Much like Big E, I feel like he's underused as a singles wrestler. I think he's extremely talented. He reminds me of a better version of Too Cold Scorpio, for all you old-timers out there that remember ECW. He's good on the mic. He's charismatic. He's got a certain it factor. I'd like to see him at least win the Battle Royale. Doesn't necessarily win the title down the road. Maybe the TNT title, but I think they may be setting that up down the road. But I like Scorpio Sky to win it. Yeah, I don't think he's gonna win it. But I'm gonna go with Scorpio Sky. Who I think is gonna win it? It's probably gonna end up being like Brian Cage or my sleeper Darby Allin. But I'd like to see Scorpio Sky win it. Just like you're in the tank for Ray Phoenix. Speaking of in the tank, I guess we'll get to this one, the co-main event. Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy in a Mimosa Mayhem match. And it's kind of ironic. Friend of the show, Bonnie, was mad because she was like, how did I not think of that? Orange, the champion champagne, mimosas. So,
yeah.
You know, the man who invented the Money in the Bank match, which is Chris Jericho, that's well known. It's a fact. It's not. You know, that's not something I'm making up, has now invented the Mimosa Mayhem Challenge, where you could either win by pinfall submission or how the match is likely to end, someone being thrown into a vat of mimosa. I think this is a good way to put over Orange Cassidy without having to make Jericho look weak, without having Jericho to take a pin. I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Orange Cassidy winning this match, tossing Chris Jericho into the vat of mimosa.
I mean, of course, you know I'm agreeing with you. Orange Cassidy is definitely going to win by pushing him or throwing him into a mimosa tank. I think, like, I'm just wondering, because obviously there's a push going on for Orange Cassidy. I'm just wondering what it brings beyond Jericho, because they can't keep the Jericho feud going too much longer.
Maybe this is going to lead to something with, you know, Best Friends has been feuding a little bit, a lot. You know, the one thing I like about AEW is they have different little mini feuds going on here and there. And you know, Best Friends has a problem with Dark Order in the past. Maybe this leads to a TNT title shot. Who knows? You know, I like that they have this second belt. Unfortunately, I don't think it will be defended on that night, but it's fine. It reminds me a lot of the old TV title where you have something to defend on television. So we'll see how that goes. Another match that's actually pretty intriguing is Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara. They're calling it Broken Rules matches, where essentially – it's pretty much it's a last man standing match, you know, where you knock the person down for the 10 count. The finish can happen anywhere. There must be a winner, and the big major part of the stipulation is that if Matt Hardy loses this match, he's gone from AEW forever. So that just leads me to believe that Matt Hardy's going to win this match. Although you never know. You never know. Because what you could do, if you're booking this, you could have Matt Hardy lose and then have him come in different reiterations as he tends to do, you know. Kind of like what they do with Bray Wyatt, where they have Bray and they have The Fiend. And you know what I mean? Like, you know, he originated a lot of this stuff, alter egos and whatnot. So, it just leads me to believe I'm gonna go with Matt Hardy. I don't see him. I, you know, it'd be a good way to put over Sammy Guevara. I still feel like he's a little bit in a doghouse. but over the comments. But I'm and the chair, because that chair that where he damn near killed Matt Hardy. That wasn't kayfabe. That chair just he grabbed the wrong chair. So there's a little heat behind it. I'm gonna go with Matt Hardy on that one.
I'm going with Matt Hardy too, and I think that you said it. I think Guevara is still in the doghouse. I don't think they're gonna have him, you know, give me a pay-per-view victory just yet. He's probably lucky just to be on the pay-per-view. But I don't think they'll give him the win. But I don't know. I don't really think they'll do Hardy losing either and then coming back as a different incarnation. I just don't really see it. But and I don't even know how good the match is going to be. I'm not that excited about this match either, but I definitely think it'll be Matt Hardy for the win.
A match that I am excited about, which I think will steal the show, Hikaru Shida, who one of my favorite wrestlers right now on the planet, male or female, to be honest. I think she's really good. I think she's in a weird situation, much like Larry Holmes and Roy Jones used to be back in the day, where she's so much better than everyone else in the company as far as the women's division. Well, they had to go outside the company to find some competition, and they found Thunder Rosa, the NWA Women's Champion. Shout out to Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins for lending her out on this one. This one's for the AEW title. It's not title for title. It leads me to believe that this will be Shida winning. It could also lead that Shida may go over to NWA to go get a shot at Thunder Rosa down the road, because from what I understand, NWA is coming back to operation after taking a hiatus because of COVID. Most people, I feel like most American audiences or people that don't watch NWA don't realize how good Thunder Rosa is. There's a lot of good female talent outside the WWE bubble. Jordynne Grace, I'm blanking on her name, Deonna Purrazzi. I probably butchered her name. The TNA Women's Knockout Champion. The Knockout Champion. Thunder Rosa is on that list. With Taya Valkyrie, there's a lot of, you know, your Tessa Blanchard. She's really, really, really good. She's better than what they have on the roster right now, and she is better than Dr. Britt Baker. She's better than Big Swole. She's better. She's that good. Thunder Rosa is legit to the point where I know WWE wanted her at one point. And I'm going to go with Shida on this one, but I don't be surprised if we see a swerve. I think that's going to be the match that steals the show, I feel like. That's going to be the match that steals the show. You heard it here first. You know what? Fuck that. I'm going with the upset. I think Thunder Rosa wins the AEW title. I'm going to go with the upset.
I've never seen Thunder Rosa, so I don't know. I can't really make an educated prediction on this one.
Mark my words. I think you'll be impressed with Thunder Rosa by the end of the night. So you will remember her name after this. We also have Adam Page and Kenny Omega versus FTR. I feel like this match is a coronation. Excuse me. Ooh, that's the peach tea cider kicking in. I feel that this is a coronation for FTR. I know we're Tully Blanchard, by the way, who's still excellent on the mic. One of the best things, probably the most underrated horseman, Tully Blanchard. I know everyone loves Ric Flair. Everyone wanted to be Ric Flair. Personally, I wanted to be Arn Anderson. I always was a big Arn Anderson stan. But probably the most underrated horseman is Tully Blanchard. And actually, Tully Blanchard is actually one of my favorite, is in my favorite all-time cage match. Well, I'll get back to that in a second. I love Tully Blanchard with FTR, especially because they remind me of Tully and Arn so much. But this match just has a coronation feel to it, especially the way the Elite is imploding. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said offline that I feel like they're going to give it to FTR. Paige getting booted from the Elite, and I don't know, Hangman, not Hangman, Kenny has been kind of hinting toward maybe a heel turn or something, and something going on with him. So I think that I think FTR is going to get, I think they'll get the belts, and I think they're going to get like a nice little run too. I think they really want to push FTR, and I think they deserve it.
I man, you've heard me say it a million times. I love the best part of AEW is the tag team division. That really is. They really do emphasize tag team wrestling. And if this is the end for Kenny and Adam Page, I got to give them props, because at first I felt like they were mishmashed together. You know how sometimes they'll put like a random two people together, like Yokozuna and Owen Hart together, but eventually they kind of grow into a team and you learn to accept them as a team. I think that's kind of what happened with Adam Page and Kenny Omega, where at first it was like, this makes no sense. Outside of being Bullet Club together back in New Japan, like, it made no sense, and yet it worked. And I love their finisher, that the Buckshot V-Trigger. Yo, that shit is ill. Like, I'll put that finisher up against the Heart Attack or Demolition's elbow off the top rope and whatnot, or the Doomsday Device. I really like the Buckshot V-Trigger. But yeah, it just feels like it's a coronation for Dax and Cash. So finally, before we get into WWE, this is going to sound like hyperbole. Maybe it's the cider talking, but I think this is the most important match in AEW's short history, because you're talking about the face of the company, whether people like him or not, PWI 500's number one best wrestler in the last year, Jon Moxley, versus the future. And I don't think he's the future. I think he's the now. And I'm saying it right off the bat, I'm going with MJF to win the title. I think now is the perfect time to put the belt on him. He's ready. He's ready for it. He's ready to be the face of the company. And I think it is a symbolism to it that the future is now. You know, wrestling's in a great place where we have a lot of great young talent like MJF, like Jungle Boy. I'll throw in Dominic Mysterio in there. You know, we were talking about Private Party. There's a lot of great young up and Austin Theory, who you like. Angel Garza. Sammy Guevara, my man in Impact. I'm blanking on his name. Not Austin. It's going to kill me. But my point is, there's a lot of great young talent right now. And in a lot of ways, the most polished of this young talent, from top to bottom, around the scope, I think is MJF. I think he's probably one of the best wrestlers on the mic, hands down. The kid's got an it factor to him. He just draws natural heat. It's not heat like Baron Corbin, where it's like, get the fuck off my TV. It's not heat like it's old school. Like, he, even if you like him, he will. There's something about him. He'll eventually make you hate him. You can't teach that. I think the time is now to pull the trigger on him and make him the face of this new fledgling company, because it's still a new company. I say do it. Put the belt on him. I'm going with the upset. I'm going with MJF over Moxley. And keep in mind, I've been saying all year, Moxley. I mean, I don't go by the PWI schedule, but I had Moxley right now in my top three for wrestler of the year thus far, with the year coming to a close. But I think now's the time to pull the trigger on it. I think now's the time to make MJF the champion.
I mean, I hope you're right, but I don't think you are. I would love for MJF to be champ. I think what you're saying about MJF is true. I just think that they're not done with Moxley, and I think they're using MJF and giving him his first, you know, singles competition loss to John Moxley to push John Moxley even further. I just think that Moxley is going to have it for a little while longer. I think everything you said is right, but I don't think your prediction is right.
I hadn't thought of that. I keep forgetting, yo, MJF's undefeated this year. I completely forgot about that. You know,
This is not just another defense for Moxley. If he gets that, he's the guy who beat MJF in singles.
Look, I know people shit on Moxley. He's having an insane year, and he fucking gets that first W over MJF. That just further pushes, for me at least, on my list for the upcoming fuzzies. It helps push him to the top of the heat as far as wrestler of the year. And I know people have the problem with him, but look, he's putting on some solid matches, man. He really is. I think this is going to be good too, but like I said, I just think the time is now to pull the trigger and make MJF the face of your young company. Young star for a young company. That's how I'm getting. That might be the iced tea talking, the cider talking, but that's how I would book it. But anyway, let's move on to WWE. Man, we've had NXT TakeOver 30, Triple X. We've had, we were supposed to have a new NXT champion. We've had SummerSlam. We had Payback. I guess we'll do it as, because we got about 15 minutes. I guess we'll do it as a whole. What has stood out for you, WWE, in the last 3 weeks? They've had three shows to talk about between TakeOver Triple X, between SummerSlam, and between Payback.
Oh, well, I mean, if you want to talk NXT, man, that ladder match, man, for the the North American title, right?
Yes,
man.
Yes,
that was a hell of a match. You know, the Iron Man match today I thought was pretty good. It wasn't like that ladder match, but it was pretty good. And I think Payback was good. There's really not much else. I was disappointed in SummerSlam. The very ending was, you know, the best part, just like the kind of little, not really, I guess, swerve, but whatever, when, you know, Roman came out. But
that was a swerve.
I thought Payback
was
a way better pay-per-view than SummerSlam.
I agree about that. I think what stood out in the last 3 weeks is I'm going to enjoy heel Roman Reigns. I think having him with Paul Heyman is a brilliant move. I think that is a swerve, definition of a swerve. I wasn't expecting him to be sitting with Paul Heyman, and yet it makes so much sense in hindsight. I mean, both non-kayfabe and kayfabe, you know, Paul Heyman's going out of his way to put over Roman Reigns. And you know, listen, I know people get annoyed by him. I know people – listen, if you don't like him, it doesn't matter whether he's heel or face. So you're already not the market for this conversation in that sense. You've already made up your mind about Roman Reigns. There's just nothing that the man could ever do that you're going to like him, you know. And so – but, you know, I think he puts on pretty good matches, especially against guys like Brock Lesnar. I don't think he's as bad as people say he is. I actually think he's pretty talented. I think, if anything, he's been the victim of bad booking. The best example of that is that Suffering Succotash line. I thought he was solid with the Shield. Him being a heel isn't too much of a stretch. People forget he started his career as a heel. I think, to me, where the swerve came in was Paul Heyman. Nice swerve at that, too. I was not expecting that. I think that's one of the good things that stood out. I absolutely agree about Payback. How good, like, and to me, match of the night, it might have been match of the last 3 weeks. That finisher with Shayna Baszler against Bayley and Sasha Banks, that Muda Lock and Kasa Hajime that she does, I think that's what it is. I don't know what she's calling it, but Jesus, that might have been one of my favorite finishes of all time, the way she did that. I really like what they're doing with Shayna Baszler after, like, getting lost in the shuffle. NXT-wise, Jesus, that spot with Gargano, what was it, where Candice LeRae was on top of Bronson Reed, and they went off the top of the ladder. Oh, Jesus Christ. That was an insane spot. Yo, Candice is a bump machine, man. She doesn't get enough props. Everyone talks about, like, you know, there's a lot of women wrestlers that take a lot of good bumps. She's a bump machine, man. She really does not mind getting in there and taking those hard bumps. I Candice, especially tonight's match, she's growing on me. I like her as a heel more than I like her as a face. I do have an issue, though, and I don't know how you feel about this. I thought Bronson Reed should have won the North American title. And I came around on that because I wasn't a big Bronson Reed fan. But I felt like, I don't know. I've never been a Damian Priest / Punishment Martinez fan like that. I like him, but I don't love him. I don't know if he's the guy that I wanted holding that title. I don't know. Where do you stand on Damian Priest?
Man, I don't know if it was you I was talking to. But maybe not. I think it was somebody else. Anyway, that match was, I thought it was a great match. Like, possibly match of the year for WWE, NXT, possibly any of them. That was a great match. And as it was going on more, I was telling myself this, which is, you know, what I was thinking from the beginning, but I kept telling myself more and more, this is a really, really, really good match. I hope this doesn't happen. And that was that I said the one person I did not want to win that I'd be pissed if they won, because I was cool with anybody else winning. The one person that I was like, nah, fuck that, was Damian Priest. I would have been fine. You know, I was going for Dream. Obviously, I was going for Dream. I think Reed is crazy slept on. I'd have been fine if Reed won it. Gargano, like, I would have been fine with anybody except for Damian Priest. Damian Priest, the dude is just a Bama. I don't know.
I think he's from New York, too. I think he's a New York City Bama to boot.
I think he is.
I've been one of those that kind of has been sleeping on Bronson Reed, and you're right. I've come full circle on him. I actually thought he put on a pretty good match today against Timothy Thatcher. By the way, slept on match, I think, in the last 3 weeks. Finn Balor versus Timothy Thatcher. I thought that was... There's another guy I've come around where I thought he was quote-unquote boring. He is not boring. If you like good, solid ring mat wrestling, he's kind of like what Raw Underground is supposed to be or trying to be, but we'll get to Raw Underground in a second.
Do we have to?
No, we don't. But
It's just so bad.
I love it.
It's so bad.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And I'll go in better. I'll get back to that in a second. But I do have an appreciation. I've come around on Timothy Thatcher. He had that great match against Matt Riddle, and I'm not the biggest Matt Riddle fan. It's not even for wrestling. I'm just not the biggest Matt Riddle fan. Whatever. That Lion's Den match that he had with Matt Riddle was excellent, especially the way that ended. I really liked the match that he had against Finn Balor. I'm looking out for him. But with that said, the reason I'm mentioning Timothy Thatcher is I thought he had a great match against Bronson Reed today, tonight's card. You're right. I slept on Bronson Reed. I kind of saw him as a fat jobber, you know, a jabron, which, by the way, dictionary.com now recognizes the word jabroni as an official word in the English language, by the way. So if you're playing Scrabble, you can call somebody a jabroni. What's that?
It's about time.
And by the way, The Rock, I know everyone credits The Rock for creating that word or for using that word, but really it's the Iron Sheik who used that word. The Rock got it from the Iron Sheik from hanging out in the locker room, or, you know, hanging out with his dad. That's the Iron Sheik's word. Don't ever, ever, ever get it twisted. I know people want to give The Rock credit for, like, inventing, you know, the wheel and for putting the sun in the sky and whatnot, you know. But
he did.
That's the Iron
Sheik's
word. And the moon, yeah. I know people want to give The Rock credit for everything, but that's the Iron Sheik's word. I don't want to hear it. I don't, you know, just like a Minor Threat song. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I tell you, I'm still not in the Pat McAfee camp. I guess I have Pat McAfee in my little box where I have Paul George. Yeah, whatever, you know, I just, whatever.
Pat McAfee?
I'm going to move on. Yeah, McAfee. McPhee, do something and I'll be impressed. I'll learn
McAfee
your name.
McAfee is back in wrestle, man. Stop hating.
Yeah, I'm hating. I'm hating. But I'm glad they did right by Adam Cole because rather after
El
having
Odiador.
Him. El Odiador strikes again. El Odiador. I need a hateful mask. A hateful mask. But I'm glad to see that after wasting Adam Cole's time with this garbage, they have him, back in the title run, back in the title hunt. My only thing, and you talked about this, one of the things that I'm worried about as seeing the booking that's happened in the last 3 weeks, and we got 4 minutes left, is where does this leave Bray? You know, everyone's geeked. I guess now your top heel is Roman Reigns on SmackDown, which that takes away from The Fiend. Does that mean The Fiend is now a face? How do you pull that off? Where does Alexis Bliss stand in all this? Like, because they did show her backstage. And Braun, what happens with Braun? Does Braun go back in the shuffle? And then you still got guys like AJ. We haven't seen Daniel Bryan back. By the way, my favorite moment is seeing Sami Zayn back. That was one of the highlights of my last 3 weeks, was seeing the return of Sami Zayn. God, I love that guy. I'm glad they have him feuding with AJ Styles and Matt Hardy. And the real Intercontinental Champ, fuck what you heard, it ain't Matt Hardy, it ain't AJ Styles, it's Sami Zayn. I'm glad to see him back. But yeah, it's been an interesting 3 weeks. But where I was going with this as I'm rambling is, you know, I guess where does this leave The Fiend? Because you said something, Empress. Say what you told me off the grid about The Fiend. I'm a little concerned with where does this leave The Fiend?
The Fiend, let me see. I'm trying to think exactly what I said. I think I said The Fiend's title runs are only slightly longer than my title runs, and I have no title runs. The Fiend, that dude gets the belt for like half a second. Like, I don't even think he has time to put it on before he's lost the belt. Like, I don't know what it is, man. That dude cannot get a title run for anything. Once he wins the belt, he has to give it right back up. And one of the times he gave it up to Goldberg, who then Goldberg, like, gave it right back up. I don't know. I really have no answers. I don't get it. I don't know what their plans are with Bray, The Fiend, or any of it. I really can't call
it. You know, much like you erase Raw Underground from your face, from your mind, I completely forgot that they had The Fiend job to Goldberg. You got me mad now. You got me angry. And that might be the cider talking. But I completely forgot
they had
The Fiend job.
You should be.
I erased that
you
from
should
my
be
ass.
Angry.
I swear to God. And now that I'm thinking about it, that's how the belt ended up in Braun's lap, is that he and it was supposed to be Roman Reigns that was supposed to beat Goldberg, which I think they're still going to do that program, by the way, at some point. Goldberg versus Roman
Reigns.
Oh,
Lord. That'll be so bad.
I'm not kidding about that. What, you don't want to see Spear
versus
Spear?
No.
But, no, you're right about that.
No.
And it's something, it's something we'll keep an eye on. So hopefully they don't have Roman Reigns on Raw Underground. He's on SmackDown, so he's safe. But Jesus Christ. We're running out of time. We'll do this again next week. But it's been a great week of wrestling. We're going to review. I still got to review Summer. It's still the New Japan show, the stadium show that they had. Naito has the titles again. We'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about All In, the results and the aftermath. Go Team MJF. We'll do this again next week. All right, man. Peace.
All right. Late.